Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon and my favorite time of year. It truly is the most wonderful time of year to me. I love Christmas. Merry Christmas, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, in the hustle and bustle of the holidays. And today we're going to dive into a beautiful tradition that can transform your family's holiday season. Now, before I get into it, let me just give you a disclaimer. Last week, I was so happy to have all four of my kids home. I've got two in college, and so they're not often all together. But when they come from all different places, there is a high likelihood that somebody's going to have some sort of little cold or something. And in spending so much time with them, they shared that with me. And do I regret it? Not a bit at all. But if you hear that my voice sounds a little wobbly or I have a little cough here or there, yes, I'm human. So thank you so much for bearing with me in that. And we're going to do our best to get through the message that I have for you today, because I really have something on my heart that I want to share with you. Yesterday, we had a guest from Lifeway Women who talked about a new Advent Bible study. It's a 4-session Advent Bible study. This is a beautiful book. It's called Joy to the World, Celebrating the Good News of Christmas. And if you missed yesterday's show, go back and give it a listen. If you've never done Advent before, it's a great time to start. It doesn't have to be really fancy, really over the top, really in depth. It can just be once a week or just turning your thoughts and attentions toward the preparation, preparing our hearts and minds to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We have also featured another family Advent devotional geared toward the littles. It's called The Way to the Manger, and it's by Jeff and Abby Land. Jeff is a children's minister here in Houston. And it is just a beautiful keepsake book. And I don't get anything from telling you about those books except for the joy of sharing these resources. And I think it's important for us as families to invest in those resources and to invest in our family's heart and intention and where they're going for Christmas. We've also featured another author named Valerie Ellis. She wrote a really cute Lift the Flap book. It's called Share the Joy, a Christmas Lift the Flap book. And we're actually going to talk to her husband later on this week. But those are three resources. We'll link those on our Facebook Live page so that you can find those if you want to know about those. Yesterday, we talked about Joy to the World. If you go to lifeway.com/joy to the world, they're giving you a free family devotional. And actually, my church handed this out as we walked in on Sunday. So if you're looking for a free resource, that's a great one to have as well. There are discussion guides for younger kids, middle kids, and older kids, and for the grown-ups in our life to direct our conversation, our heart, and our intention toward Advent. Now, I'm taking a sip of tea. All right, we'll unpack what Advent is, because whether the word is familiar to you or brand new, you are in the right place. So let's talk about it, why it matters for your family, and how you can celebrate this season of joyful anticipation. And yesterday we did talk about the fact that we recognize not every family situation is joyful. And sometimes you can feel some guilt in that and the pull of that and feeling joyful at what's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but it's okay. There's space for both. And that really comes to mind in the message of the first week of Advent, which is hope, which is what we do every day here on this show, is prescribe hope for healthy families in a world that seems hopeless. So let's just start with the basics. What is Advent? Let's make sure we're all on the same page. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming or arrival. It's a season observed by Christmas all around the world to prepare our hearts to celebrate Jesus' birth and anticipate his second coming. Now, traditionally, it spans the 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas, and each week focuses on a specific theme. We have hope, peace, joy, and love. Now, it isn't just about counting the days until Christmas with chocolate calendars, but even though those can be fun sometimes, it's about creating space in our daily lives, in our busy daily lives, to reflect, to worship, and to prepare spiritually. So why should your family celebrate Advent? Why should you even consider this? Well, let's be real. Christmas can feel like a whirlwind of shopping, events, to-do lists, and it's very easy for that cliche, the reason for the season, which is not a cliche actually, to get lost in the noise. Advent is a great tool to slow your family down. It invites you to gather together as a family, turn off those distractions, and focus on the greatest gift the world was ever given, and that is Jesus Christ. Celebrating Advent strengthens your family as you reflect on God's promises and their fulfillment in Jesus. It can make your family closer, creating those intentional moments of prayer and scripture reading and worship, and it transforms our holiday mindset from stress to gratitude, which centers our heart on God's love. And sometimes when we feel the least like gathering and praying, we feel the least like having a family devotional or Bible study, that's when we need it the most. And here's another really important thing. We've talked a lot about the importance of traditions, and for children, Advent is a tradition that introduces a rhythm of waiting and wonder. And that's important, not just at Christmas time, but just for the life of their faith. For couples, it can deepen your spiritual intimacy as you pray and reflect together. And for all of us, no matter what age or stage of life or family we're in, it keeps the focus on Christ in the middle of all of the chaos. So the first week of Advent, this week we are zooming in on hope. And this week's theme reminds us of the promises that God made to his people, promises fulfilled in Jesus who came to save us. And one of the key scriptures for this week is found in Isaiah 9:6. I'm sure that most of you have heard it before, but it's still so beautiful. And I confess, I get chills every time I read it. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that prophecy, written hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, tells of the hope that God offered to a weary world. And that same hope is alive for us today as we trust in his plan and anticipate his return. So how can you celebrate hope in your family? Well, there are different ways that we can do it. When you read that scripture in Isaiah, we remember that the people were walking in darkness. They hadn't heard from God for hundreds of years, but they knew that a Messiah was coming. And just like that, we are a people walking in a world filled with darkness, and we are waiting on Jesus to come back. So some of the practical ways that your family can embrace hope this week is maybe you want to be that crafty family that creates an Advent wreath. There are candles that you can have. You can light the first candle, the candle of hope, and just do something as simple as reading Isaiah 9:6 together, just like I read it to you, and just share as a family. What does hope in Jesus mean to you personally? Again, reject the whole Pinterest notion of perfection and seek, just like I talked about yesterday, I really want you to seek connection over perfection this holiday season. It doesn't have to be a perfect Advent Bible study. It doesn't have to be a perfect present or a perfect dish that you make or a perfect photo. Seek connection with your faith and connection with your family. That is really important. So it can be really informal. It doesn't have to be fancy. You might just have a daily scripture reflection where you can read a short Bible passage each evening together. And, you know, from Luke chapter 1, where the angel announces Jesus' birth to Mary, that's a great way to start. It's a wonderful story of hope and trust. You might just pray together as a family. Thank God for the gift of Jesus and ask him to fill your hearts with hope. And for couples, take time to pray specifically for each other's needs and dreams and just connect in that way. And hope isn't just something we feel. We need to communicate to our families that it's something we share. Encourage your family to spread hope by blessing others. Write cards, donate to a charity, bake treats for a neighbor. Have you ever been in a place where you just felt down and hopeless and somebody showed up at your door with maybe flowers or cookies or a card? It gives you hope. in a moment thinking, okay, there are people who love me, who care about me, and God prompted their heart to minister to me. That is a great way to spread hope to others. We also talked yesterday about the importance and the power of music, especially in Advent, in this season of waiting and wonder. We love playing Christmas songs, but be intentional about the Christmas songs that you're playing. Think about, can you make a, I made a Christmas playlist on Spotify, actually, and you can find it if you want to under Dr. Nurse Mama, but it's Christmas Hope. It's specifically songs about hope for, it's to prepare our hearts to think we have hope in a world that feels hopeless. And I think about carols like O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which just capture the longing and the hope of Advent. So sing together as a family, even if you're off key. Listen, not everyone in my family, that's going to be my husband. He has a lot of gifts, but he sings with a joyful noise. And we love that. And it pleases God. So sing together as a family, even if it feels cheesy or crazy, just let the words remind you of God's promises. And for couples especially, Advent can be a really powerful time to reflect on hope in your marriage. Where do you need to trust God more deeply? Where do you need to rekindle hope? Maybe that's hope for a reconciliation in another family relationship, or hope for reconciliation with your children, or hope for a way out of a season of conflict, or whatever it is. Maybe you're facing challenges, financial stress, parenting struggles, or just the busyness of life. The story of Advent reminds us that God works in the waiting. He brings light to the darkest places and hope to the most unexpected situations. And if you think about the story of the birth of Jesus, so unexpected, not the way the world expected the King of the universe to come in, but God, my favorite phrase in the history of ever. And if we believe all of that, how can we not believe in hope in the situations where we're in? So here's some ideas for your marriage. Maybe you set aside some time this week for what I'm calling a hope date, where you have a date and you talk about where you need more hope in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your faith. Maybe you light a candle and read scripture together. Just talk about where you see God working in your lives. And you can remember from Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 31, the angel told Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." How does that give us hope to go forward? And that scripture just teaches so much about God's promises and how those promises fulfilled give us hope in the promises he has made. That is really helpful. So then maybe you ask your family, what are you hoping for this Christmas season? How has God brought hope to our family in the past? There is nothing more encouraging than looking back and seeing what God has done and knowing he will do it again. And then where do you see God working in your life now? Even little kids can draw a picture of what they're hoping for on paper, or older kids, you can journal, have a family journal. And then maybe light a candle, just something symbolizing hope. Maybe say a simple prayer together, something like, "Lord, thank you for the hope we have in Jesus. As we light this candle, remind us of your promises and help us to trust you in all circumstances. Fill our hearts with hope as we prepare to celebrate Jesus's birth. Amen." So it can just be that simple, just a little conversation, reading a scripture, playing or listening to a song, and saying a prayer. That is really the simplest thing. So as you begin this Advent journey, remember that hope isn't just wishful thinking. It's a confident expectation rooted in God's faithfulness. So this week, let's make some space for hope in our hearts and our homes, trusting in the one who came to save us and will come again. And God, I just thank you for the gift of Advent, for a season to focus on the hope we have in Christ. As we think about hope, may it remind us of your promises that never fail. Help us to wait with confidence and joy, knowing that Jesus came to save us and will come again to make all things new. Bless every family listening today with unity, love, peace, and hope as they prepare their hearts for this holy season. In Jesus' name, amen. When we come back, we'll talk about navigating holiday stress as a family. I'll be back on the other side of this break. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. For Dr. Nurse Mama, I'm Jessica Peck.
Laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. The little Lord Jesus, no cry he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. It's Christmas, the angels are singing, and I know the reason the Savior is born. It's Christmas, the bells are ringing, and I feel like shouting, joy to the world.
Welcome back, friends. I don't know about you, but that song puts a smile on my face and a skip in my step. That's It's Christmas by Chris Tomlin. And it is Christmas. We are approaching Christmas really quickly. And I don't know about you, but it feels a little more rushed because Thanksgiving was so late this year. It's like we had Thanksgiving and then all of a sudden we're under 20 something days till Christmas. Oh my goodness gracious. The stress is real. And so I want to take some time to talk with you today, just to do a little gut check. Would you be brave enough to do that with me? To think, all right, how are we being intentional about stewarding our holiday season? What are things that you still have time that you can do well, that you won't look back and think, oh, I wish I had done this. I wish I had not done that. There's some common pitfalls that we're going to walk through. And the first one of those is navigating holiday stress as a family, because it does feel stress. So let me give you an example of stress that I adopted on myself. So when my children were small, my in-laws approached me one year and they said, hey, we would really like to take you out to a nice restaurant on Christmas Eve. We'd like to get dressed up and to do this. Well, this struck terror in my heart. I thought, I have four young children. Do you know what it's like? I know many of you out there are thinking, oh yes, I know what it's like to take four young children to any restaurant, much less a nice restaurant. But you know what? I took the stress on myself And I thought, okay, I really don't want to tell them no. I don't want to hurt their feelings, which it wouldn't have hurt their feelings. They were just trying to be nice. But I said, okay. So I, you know, got my kids all dressed and I did what any good mom would do. I gave them a lecture within an inch of their life, telling them, you will sit still. You will not ask to go to the bathroom. You will not ask how much longer we have to sit here. You won't whine about the food. You won't cry. You will, you know, have good manners. Yeah, that probably wasn't the best strategy, but you know, you live and learn. And so when we went to the restaurant, we were sitting there and everything was going relatively well. One of my children was more quiet than usual. And the next thing I know for those of you who have a weak stomach, I'm giving you a little warning here. One of my children tossed their cookies like literally all over this nice table with candles and flowers and everything. I was absolutely horrified because this was not even in my wildest nightmares of what could happen. And I said, oh my goodness, what happened? And my child said, you told me not to ask to go to the bathroom. And we had been at another holiday gathering before that, and they had eaten food that was sitting out and just had a little too much to eat. But you know, I took that stress on myself. And there are so many times where we take on stress that's self-imposed. And we might feel awkward in the moment of just saying no, and we can't do that. But listen, there is so much glorious freedom in just simply saying, no, we are not available to do that. Thank you for the invitation, but we can't. And that's it. Don't feel like you have to give a million explanations or you have to give a thesis statement to justify theologically why you're not participating in that activity. Just feel the glory of saying no. Because if there's something that really nobody cares about except for you or your perception of what you feel like other people's perception will be if you do or do not do this, just don't do it. Think, is this a good use of our family's time? Is this, we only have a small amount of time for the holidays that God has given us to steward. He has given us this time to steward. Is this a good use of our time? So here's some practical tips. Make a family calendar for the holidays for the next 3 weeks. List out your commitments and just look at it objectively and see all of the things that you have to do. And discuss the priorities as a family. Maybe you're one of those moms like me who thinks, oh, we have to do all the traditions every year. Well, maybe this is a year that this is something we do every other year. So one thing I did was go to my kids and say, what is your favorite Christmas tradition? What's the one thing? If we only do one thing, what is that one thing that you want to do? And then I felt so much better about it because it was so much more manageable. And I was doing that thing that they really felt that was the most special. Maybe you should set a daily quiet time and just have a few minutes for everyone to reflect and pray and just breathe, where you just say, okay, we're going to have 10 minutes of quiet time. Everybody just sit. Maybe you just focus on the essentials and talk about letting go of perfection, prioritizing connection. And because sometimes the question we ask ourselves is, okay, how can we make sure that we are incorporating faith practices into our busy holiday schedule? How do we make sure that we're doing those things? But the real question is, how do we make faith the central part of our holiday schedule and incorporate the fun things and the fun traditions around that centrality of the faith tradition? And, you know, when we start appeasing our kids and trying to give them every experience and every gift, it makes them really entitled, honestly. And then when they get entitled, we get irritated and we think, oh my gosh, how are you asking for all of these things? I've done all of this and this and this and stretched myself thin and stretched my wallet thin, and you're still not grateful? A great way to be grateful is to serve together as a family, because we can't just tell our kids to be grateful. We have to show them how to be grateful. And I've shared this story many times before, but it was so impactful. And as my family adopted another family for Christmas, these little kids who were my kids' ages at the time, they had on their Christmas list that they wanted pillows and blankets and pajamas. I mean, things that my kids would not view as an optimal Christmas gift. They wouldn't put that on their list because they had those things. And as we went to deliver them, we realized this family was living in a converted trailer a converted tractor trailer. I may not be using that word right, but like the back of a, like an 18 wheeler almost. And they didn't have central air or heat or running water. And of course, you know, we addressed that after we left and helped connect them to resources. But my kids, you know, showed up with the pillows and the blankets and they gave them to them and just were playing together in the yard because kids can connect in that way, no matter where they, who they are, where they're from, or what their circumstances are. Kids have an amazing ability just to connect on a playing level. And when it was time to leave, I told my kids, okay, it's time to leave. And my son just looked at me so innocently and said, are they going home now too? He just thought this was some play apparatus we had come to that was maybe a little bit novel. He couldn't imagine his mind that a family lived there. And so we need to show our kids how to be grateful. And there's a, that's a great way to do that through service. And so I want you to think, do you have any service planned with your family for this holiday season? You could partner with a local shelter, a soup kitchen, any kind of ministry. Maybe you did Operation Christmas Child where you packed a shoebox. What simple service project can you do? There are so many. One of the biggest things that I see, the opportunity for service is going to visit the elderly. They love seeing kids. So call a nursing home in your area and just ask what would be a way that you could bring your family just to come and visit with some of the residents. I guarantee you they will be so happy to partner with you in that and to find a way for you to come and just bring cards or maybe sing songs if you're gifted in that way. Maybe you have a Von Trapp kind of family. I don't know. Whatever you're able to do, but just the gift of your presence, just seeing kids dressed up for Christmas is really special. Maybe it's something that you need to have a gratitude jar that you're writing things on that you're thankful for. And and on a day when you have a really tough family day, you get some bad family news or you're just struggling relationally, you pull out that gratitude jar and you remind yourselves what God has given you. And you just, again, start a kindness campaign where there's all kinds of fun, creative ways to do that you can share kindness with other people. And so think about what are those age-appropriate ways to teach generosity, to teach that we, it's so much better to give than to receive. And one of those ways that we can give to our children is giving them the security of building holiday traditions. And not just traditions, some are just fun, some are quirky, some are silly, but building holiday traditions that reflect faith and your family values, those are really, really special. And they create such a connection. And even now, my kids are in college and young adults, and they still love those simple, cherished family traditions. The things that they love the most are the things that cost the least, honestly. Just thinking about sitting by each other, sitting generation by generation on the church pew on Christmas Eve, singing Silent Night by candlelight. That is, oh, I get goosebumps even just thinking about it. And that didn't cost me a thing. That was so special to sit with people we know and love and to see people from all over our community who say, you know what? Jesus is the reason for the season, and we are going to prioritize going to church together on Christmas Eve as a family and sitting there with them and singing together. That is really, really special. Another really simple thing that we do is before we open our gifts, my husband will open his Bible and he reads the Christmas story. It's so simple. It really is simple. And we tell our kids this simple message. We tell them, no matter what gifts you give today, that you get today, no matter how much joy they bring you, no matter how great you think they are, nothing you get on Christmas can ever exceed the gift of Jesus, the gift of Jesus in your life, the gift of Jesus to the world. We just say that simple thing. And when we're asking our kids their favorite tradition, that's one of the things they say. It's just having that visual memory of seeing their dad open with his Bible and reading them the Christmas story and remembering to check their hearts before they check their packages and check their gifts. And we're commanded in Deuteronomy 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts and press them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. So maybe that's Advent this year, just like we talked about in the first segment. Maybe that's having some faith-filled decorations and having some ornaments or nativities around your house that constantly are giving them a visual reminder of their faith. Maybe that's something really outside your comfort zone, like a family worship night. Maybe you just declare, this Christmas, we're going to have a family worship night. We're going to sing or play carols. You can play them on your stereo if you want to. Share a testimony, pray together. What are some simple ways to start new traditions in a busy household? Traditions are actually a great way to help your kids' mental health during the holidays, because sometimes holidays can bring a lot of emotions for kids. The schedule is not quite the same. There's a lot of excitement going around towards Christmas. There are children who might be anxious about traveling. There are children who might be anxious or even a little depressed if their parents are separated or divorced, and so they're navigating different family dynamics during Christmas, all of those kinds of things. There are kids who are worried about their parents because they know their parents don't have the money to give them the kind of Christmas they want to, and they worry about that, and they feel for their parents. There are so many ways that kids can have feelings of anxiety or depression during the holidays. And we're reminded in Matthew 11, friends, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And that can be a really important reminder to give your family as you're carrying some of these burdens that come along with Christmas. And that may cause some anxiousness or some feelings of being down. So here's some things that you can do to really help be in tune with your kids' mental health. Listen actively. Listen for those little cues that kids are telling you, "Hey, I'm having some big feelings about this." And sometimes those feelings really come through behavioral disruptions, through bad behavior. And so when our kids behave badly, we get frustrated immediately and we're like, "Stop behaving badly." But if your kid is acting up, if they're, you know, just really not behaving like they usually do or like you would expect them to, stop and listen and think, okay, is this a feeling that's trying to work its way out? Because that's what happened. Simplify expectations, reduce pressure, set realistic goals for them. Know that maybe in this season, it's not the time to fight about their room being messy. Maybe you just let that go and that's your Christmas gift to them. But other ways to really amplify and make mental health better is to encourage service. Helping others really alleviates the feelings of self-focus or stress, and it helps us to focus our hearts and minds on others. That is really a great way to help your kid work out some anxiousness or stress. Serving others, being grateful, and just listening. Listening with your face. Our faces are so busy. They are in all the sales papers because, you know, Cyber Monday's been extended, friends, so we can continue looking at all those great holiday deals. Our kids need our face. They need our whole entire face. So if you're listening today and you find yourself in the middle of stress, listen, holidays can bring joy, but they can also be tough. But take it one step at a time. Start with prayer. Ask God to soften your heart and give you His wisdom. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about managing technology and screen time during the holidays. How do we do that? I'll have some answers for you when we come back.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Wonderful. with jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Welcome back, friends. And it is the most wonderful time of the year. That is, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Amy Grant. And it is Merry Christmas wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Whatever you are trying to do just to get through this holiday season and do all the things and be all the places and serve all the people, I'm right there with you. And today we're talking about setting our hearts and expectation. Yesterday we had a great episode talking about Advent. If you missed it, you can go to lifeway.com/joytotheworld. Download your free family devotional guide. It is just a once a week Advent activity. If you've never done Advent before, it's a great way to start. You can also, if you really want to dive in, you can buy the book. The book is actually sold out on Lifeway, but you can buy it at some other retailers, and it comes with music. And it was great because we were talking yesterday to one of the teachers, and she said she was doing it with a group of ladies in her neighborhood, just getting together to talk about the real meaning of Christmas. And if there is one thing that steals our time and steals our attention in this holiday season, that one thing I am convinced is technology. Technology is the thief of time. It really robs our attention. And it's so distracting because we have all of these notifications on our phone. So we're getting text messages about sales and we're getting holiday calls and emails and, you know, just all the things that are happening with technology. And so I think especially in this time before the holidays, it can be even more challenging, especially when your kids get out of school and they just want to be glued to a screen all the time. But let me tell you something. If you are really frustrated because your child is glued to a screen and you are constantly telling them to get their face out of their phone or to turn off the video game or turn off whatever streaming they're watching, here is a really hard and uncomfortable truth. Their face is probably glued because of one of two reasons. One is because your face is glued. And our kids do what we do. They don't do what we say. And here's the thing. We differentiate it because we say, oh, but mine is for work, or mine is more important for some reason than yours. Or, you know, I'm not wasting my time playing a video game. But our kids don't see that difference. They just see our faces blue lit by a screen sometimes. That can be one reason, is because they're just modeling what you're doing. The second thing is because they're looking for connection. And that is something you can provide to your kids. If they are glued to a screen, it means they're looking for some sort of relationship connection. They're looking to be seen, to be known, to be just loved. Honestly, that's what our kids want. So we've got to put ourselves out there. And even when the first reception is not so great, so when we lead with don't do this, don't get on your phone, don't turn on that video game, get off of that, and telling them a negative instruction, I really want to challenge you to change your approach to be a positive invitation. Invite them to connect with you, whether that's going on a walk, whether that's doing a puzzle, whether that's baking some cookies in the kitchen, whether that's running an errand, whatever it is, invite your children to connect instead of commanding them to disconnect. I promise you will find much more receptiveness there. And sometimes I've found that even if I just start doing something at home, that they look for that invitation. If I'm baking, It invokes curiosity. Now, I don't bake very often. I know my husband just actually probably choked on whatever he was drinking there, just saying, what did my wife just say when she's baking? Okay, well, in those, you know, rare moments where I might get a roll of cookies out of the freezer and, you know, cut them up and put them, I digress. But anyway, whatever it is, invite them to connect. Don't command them to disconnect. You'll find a lot more success. So just think about technology just during this holiday period, especially if you have kids who are going to be home from school. What can you do? Or maybe you're off from work for the holidays. What tech-free zones and tech-free times can you set for the holidays? Maybe that's just a tech-free meal. Maybe that's not a regular practice for your family, but you just say, you know what? We're going to have tech-free meals. That's just going to be a thing going forward, or at least for this holiday season. Maybe you're going to have tech-free spaces, just saying, hey, this space in our house, whether that's the living room couch, whether that's the dining room table, whether that for me is my car, that's a tech-free space. If we're in the car together, we're going to be connecting and talking. What is that tech-free space or tech-free time? What are the certain hours in a day where you are going to have tech-free times? You know, I've been talking with Wesley Wildman about this, and he, one of the things he was working on doing was when he gets home, having that first hour when he's home, putting his phone away and not having, you know, his face in his phone and giving his family his full attention. And we're both working on both of those habits. But think about just, what is your family tech schedule? Now, you can have interactive family tech activities. Maybe that's a family movie night. But, you know, I did look around at Thanksgiving one time. My husband did, actually. He looked around and there were eight of us, I think, sitting in the living room. And each one of us had our own screen, consuming our own media, looking at our own sales ads, honestly, is probably what most of us were looking at. And that is just not a healthy thing. It's also not healthy that they gave me a cold, but I'm getting over it. Let me take a sip of tea. Okay, so the other thing that's really good to do is plan something active. Do something that is active. Go on a walk. Go on a hike. Play a game together as a family. Pick up the basketball. Pick up pickleball. Try that. Do something that is active. That's good for your family, heart, mind, and spirit. And just think about it. How are you using technology mindfully? Are you using it mindfully or mindlessly? Do you just pick it up and use it just to fill a void of time, to soothe some anxiety that you have? Be intentional about your device use, and that is really important. Maybe you need to have a digital detox day where you just schedule a full day where we're not going to have technology and we're going to do old-fashioned things like board games or reading or crafting. I want to speak to all the grandparents out there, because many of you are going to be hosting kids in your home. And let me tell you, they love things like this. Bring out the Scrabble board or whatever game it is that you like to play. Kids have an affinity for vintage things, and that's a great way to connect. I know my kids, they love to play cards with their grandmother, and it's a great time just to sit around and have conversation and laugh and all of those kinds of things. So just whatever you're going to do with technology, make sure that you're prioritizing face-to-face connections, that you have some tech-free games, you have some tech-free traditions, some family activities that don't involve screens, because we have no idea how screens are going to evolve and if they're going to survive traditions. But there are some traditions, like singing Silent Night by Candlelight, that one will stand the test of time and can be passed down to family after family after family. So I encourage you also, again, seek connection. Really initiate in-person conversations. Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they really do want to talk about deep things. So ask them questions, especially with family members you don't often see. A great way to prepare your kids for family gatherings, maybe with family members they don't see very often, is to prepare a list of questions. Now, for younger kids, it might be more natural to say, hey, you're going to interview your family member and prepare them for it. Most of the time, older family members love that kind of engagement. For teenagers, it can just be some ideas and conversation starters for, hey, did you know that your uncle was in the military, or whatever, you know, life experience he may have had? You may want to ask him about that. oh, I didn't know that. That can be helpful just in guiding their intention. That can be really helpful. And when we have all of these stressors that come up, a lot of stresses around tech time for sure, but we have stressors that come from strained relationships, and sometimes we seek escape in our screens, and that's really not a healthy coping habit. And so really, to those families who are listening today who find themselves in the middle of strained relationships in this holiday season, I want to speak a special word of encouragement to you. Holidays can bring so much joy, but they shine a spotlight on unresolved conflicts, unspoken hurts, relationships that feel fractured. And if that is your reality, I want you to hear me say this loud and clear. You are not alone, and there is hope for you. The message of Christmas is all about reconciliation. When we couldn't bridge the gap between ourselves and God, He sent His Son to come to us to mend what was broken. And 2 Corinthians 5:18 reminds us all of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Friends, reconciliation is God's heart, and it can be ours too, especially at a time of the holidays. So if you're facing strained relationships, just take it one step at a time. Start with prayer. Ask God to soften your heart, to give you His eyes and His wisdom. Sometimes the first move toward healing isn't big and grand. It's just a kind word, a willingness to listen, or even just quietly surrendering the bitterness that you want to hold on to. Remember, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting the hurt or excusing the wrong. It means choosing not to carry the weight of resentment. It means not drinking poison and expecting someone else to die from it. It's a gift you give yourself and the other person, trusting God with the outcome of that situation. And you might not see resolution overnight, and that is okay. What matters most is that you invite God into the process. He is a restorer of broken things, a healer of hearts. Even if the relationship remains distant, you can still experience peace when you've done your part to love well and leave the rest in God's hands. So this season, I encourage you, I challenge you even, to make room for grace. Grace for yourself, grace for your family members, and for the hard moments that remind us how much we need Jesus. And if you feel led, maybe reach out to that person. You know who it is. And if not, pray for them. It's really hard to hate someone that you're praying for on a regular basis. God can work miracles, even in the most unlikely situations. I have experienced this myself and my family. I've had my sister on as a guest earlier in the year talking about our miraculous story of reconciliation, and only God could have done that. And for families out there listening, my prayer for you is this, that you would experience a glimpse of God's hope and restoration this Christmas, knowing that God's love is greater than any division we can ever experience here in the world. Hold on to hope and trust that in His perfect timing, He can make all things new. And, you know, I think about the things that He has made new in my life, and I felt led to share this with you, that there, Christmas for a time was really hard for me because it was filled with family brokenness, and I was filled with so much longing and wishing and what ifing. And I did not respond in the best way. I was irritable. I was moody. I, you know, was just really kind of difficult to get along with when Christmas started. And there was one Christmas in particular, I was not at my best. And my husband just looked at me like, and I knew he was going to tell me a lecture was coming. And instead, his whole expression softened. And he said, "Oh, I think I get it finally. You need a hug right now, don't you?" Well, listen, I needed a hug more than I could have ever said, but it was very hard for me. I wasn't even at a place where I could say, you know, I'm really struggling with my emotions right now, and I would appreciate your unmerited kindness and favor. But He gave it to me, and it just melted all of my defenses and really changed His perspective, showing how he could minister to me in that point where I needed hope. And for many, the Christmas story, hope came in an unexpected way, a baby born in a manger to humble parents in the quiet town of Bethlehem. The world wasn't ready, but God's perfect plan was unfolding. And to us, a child is born, and this promise is for you today. Whatever you're facing, a strained relationship, financial worries, a loss, God's hope shines through the darkness. Jesus came for you so that you could hold on to hope. So start by inviting God into your heart and your home this season. Gather your family around and find the hope of Christmas. I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you brighter than any Christmas star. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.